Welcome to the show. I'm Michael Kaplan. Today we're going to talk to Lisa Nichols, the operations manager for the Foundation of Family Values, a group down in the South Bay that has a very interesting event coming up December 1st. Lisa, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for joining me. Let's talk a little bit about, as we're getting started, the foundation that you work with, the Foundation of Family Values. How did the foundation get started? And tell me a little bit about it.
Well, the Foundation of Family Values is the inspiration of Jim Rossi, our executive director. And he founded it to honor his father, Don Rossi, and also to his other motivation came from his own personal experience, which was that he was looking for a way that was quite holistic to integrate body, mind, and spirit issues together in supporting parents and families to become more functional and to increase their well-being. So he had had some experiences himself with some parenting education courses. He's a single father, and he found them to be tremendously valuable and decided that that was something he wanted to support for other families, and that's how he got involved. He's also a certified Esalen practitioner, so that brings in the body component.
And when was it that the foundation was started?
The foundation was formally started in 2005, and when he started it, he brought in under the umbrella first the Colty Chess Club, and that's a very large and old chess group with a lot of members that meet every week. You can find players from 5 years old to 80 years old, and so that was his focus for a little while, was bringing that under the umbrella. And then this year we began to develop core courses in parenting education, so we're kind of new in this particular focus of our business.
I guess one of the questions I have right off the bat, family values is kind of a large umbrella term, and I'm sure everybody has a different interpretation of what family values are. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, first, what I'd like to do is just say that I was surprised when I started working with the foundation that a lot of people made assumptions based on our names that we were kind of aligned with a right-wing group religious organization, which could not be further from the truth. We are not affiliated with any faith-based organization at all. Instead, what we do is we're open to families of all political, religious, sexual preference, economic, and racial categories. And the values that we seek to support are the ones that help with family well-being, and we're open to any paradigm that really brings that about. Our core course, which is conscious parenting, is based on the Search Institute's values. They have asset classifications, 40 values that they've identified as being important in raising children. And we have modified a couple of those. For an example, they have a value listed where an individual might spend an hour in a religious institution, and we might reframe that to say just an hour in spiritual reflection, and so that it remains, you know, not faith-based, and everybody can pick their own way of interpreting that. And so the values that these classifications fall into are designed under the subcategories of support, empowerment, boundaries and expectations, constructive use of time, commitment to learning, looking at positive ways of living, social competencies, and developing positive identity.
It's really interesting. And actually, you know, going onto your website, which for any of our listeners that are interested, the website is www.fofv.org. Right on your website, you have something that you kind of talked about, you hit on a little bit, but it says supporting families of all political, religious, sexual preference, economic, and racial categories. And I think that's really the key, because I think, as we talked about, a lot of folks do have this image in their mind of what family values are. And like you said, a lot of folks think that it might be an exclusionary thing. But I really do like how you put it right on the top of your website there, that you're more of an inclusionary group.
Absolutely. And I was speaking with, I have an operations and marketing background, and when I met Mr. Rossi, I said to him, I think that name's may mislead some people. And his stance, which I really respected, was that he didn't want to let biases co-opt a perfectly appropriate name for his organization. And I said, well, I can't argue with that.
I agree. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Lisa Nichols is my guest. She's the operations manager for the Foundation of Family Values. You can find out more about them at www.fofv.org. So let's get right into this event that you have coming up December 1st. It's down in Campbell. It's called the Silicon Valley Gaming and Internet Compulsions and Addictions Event.
Yes.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, it is.
Tell me a little bit about gaming and internet compulsions and addictions.
Well, this also was the brainchild of Mr. Rossi, and he was noticing in the networks that he travels in that a lot of social interactions that are person-to-person were being replaced with the computer. And he was noticing that more and more hours were being spent online, and so he began to look into that more deeply and talk with some therapists who were experts in the area, et cetera, and decided that Silicon Valley was the perfect place to hold this, the first time through especially. And so we started looking into it. And I found Dr. Suzanne Rapley and Jonathan Schaefer. They are experts in the area of addiction, both substance abuse, but also internet and gaming addictions. And the gaming and internet addictions area has really come up recently, and so I've talked with them, and they're going to be our presenters. They're coming up from Santa Barbara to present for us on that day. And then I also did some research in some other areas. I've talked to some gamers and found a lot of interesting opinions and statistics, you know, about that. But basically, I think we're considering gaming and internet compulsions, addictions, to be a psychological disorder that is defined as uncontrolled gaming and internet-related behavior. And it interferes with normal functioning, with people's ability to do work or to do school, et cetera. And if somebody's online and or playing games to that degree, then there's an issue that they may want to deal with in a therapeutic setting. And so we have a morning session that's devoted to parents and an afternoon session that's directed towards professionals.
You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking about this recently. I was in a toy store shopping for a present for my little niece, and I was noticing how when I was younger, the toy stores were filled with bikes and sporting equipment and even board games, and it seems like board games are disappearing from the shelves and they're being replaced by these computer games and these video games, and it just seems like the stores are filled with them. Do you think it's more due to the technology and that they have this, or is the technology coming about as a result of these new compulsions and new addictions that the kids have?
I think they drive each other, to mm-hmm. be honest with you. But I do think there's a, you know, while we're focusing on the compulsive and addictive aspects of gaming, there's also some incredibly positive aspects of being involved in games and the internet. It can actually sometimes work in reverse, where people who may have issues around self-esteem or have social problems, et cetera, can actually go online and create virtual relationships with friends or other players and find confidence and ease there that then translates back out into the outer world. So it can almost work in reverse sometimes. So I want to be really careful not to make the games the bad guys here, because so much of it can be educational, can sharpen our responses, can increase our social abilities, can allow us to, you know, have fun and be entertaining. It's really when it's become a substitute for interaction or an escape from problems or a true addiction where, you know, they feel, you know, people feel agitated or like they're going through similar withdrawal symptoms to substance abuse when they aren't with their computers, that we're looking at. And we picked December 1st very consciously because we wanted to kind of bring this awareness up before everybody started shopping for the holidays.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. It's a perfect time. Lisa Nichols is the operations manager for the Foundation of Family Values. Their website, www.fofv.org. And we're talking about this event that they have dealing with the gaming and internet compulsions and addictions, and that's coming up December 1st. And I believe I just cut you off, Lisa. So you were finishing up talking about a little bit about how the games aren't necessarily the bad guys here in this situation.
No, they aren't the bad guys. There's just like every piece of technology, there's a positive use for it and there's a negative use for it. And so we want to address the negative use without making the games the bad guys, you know. But we also have to face the fact that with the technology out there, that there's a tremendous amount of gaming and internet use going on. Just games alone, I pulled some stats off of a research website and found that for MMO, which are massively multiplayer online games, that 25% were teenagers, 50% of the people worked full-time, 36% of the players were married, and 22% have children. So it's across all ages. It's not just about adolescents. The therapists I've talked to have older, you know, people in their 80s coming to them with some of these problems. But that of all the surveys that this research study did, which was 20,000 surveys from 4,000 gamers, 50% of them considered themselves addictive.
And those are games we've all heard of, such as EverQuest and, yes. and World of Warcraft and things like that,
yeah,
along those lines.
Yeah, the popular ones, mm-hmm. yeah. And they feel addictive. And some of the games do have some they have some environments that encourage kind of addictive behavior because they reward players who are involved in really repetitive behavior. And actually, there are social groups that come up around these games that also encourage additional playing activities to be part of the group in an esteemed way. And so there's, you know, sometimes there's some activities that can end up being seductive to players and pull them into a more compulsive or addictive, you know, profile.
You know what, Lisa, we're just running out of time here.
Okay.
I do want to touch one more time on the information for the event. It's December 1st down in Campbell, and folks can get information and about the event and tickets right on your website. Is that correct?
It's free.
Okay.
They don't need a ticket, but they do need to register. And all they have to do is go into our parenting education page, and they'll find a way to register there.
And the website, once again, is fofv.org,
and it's for parents and therapists in two different sessions.
Great. Lisa Nichols, thank you so much for joining me. The time went a little too fast, but thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate it.
No problem. Lisa Nichols, the operations manager for the Foundation of Family Values. Find out about their event on December 1st and about all their upcoming events at www.fofv.org.